Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you so much for spending some time with me this hour. Team All of It, we are live in the green space in front of a really great studio audience. Hi, guys. We are part of this giant marathon here at the green space. Now, regular listeners of the show know that our team, we love petitions and crowdsourcing here. We often do segments about it. Our next guest likes it too. Early on, musician Jonathan Colton saw the potential of the internet as the music industry was trying to figure out what to do about this mass dissemination of music online. He figured out how to use it to his advantage. For example, Kickstarter is a place where you can crowdsource a creative project. While Colton writes his own music, he had an idea for a cover album covering nothing but those soft rock tunes of the 70s. So we put out a pitch. Take a look at a bit of his Kickstarter campaign video.
Light a candle, draw a bath, and get ready to sink into a tub of feelings that are as warm as a summer rain. Presenting Some Guys, a 14-song collection of the softest, most beautiful hits from the 1970s, performed by Jonathan Colton. Because some guys are different. You know what I mean. Some guys are not afraid to let their feelings show. Just listen.
Puts on Sinatra and starts to cry. On and on.
Yeah, that's right. Stephen Bishop gets it. You know who else gets it? The Bee Gees.
How deep is your love?
How deep is your love? How deep is your love?
These are the songs that make everything okay. And they're finally all together in one sensitive, comprehensive collection.
Like walking in the rain and the snow when there's
you won't find any of the original artists on this amazing album. And you won't find any confusing or upsetting new versions of these classic hits. Instead, each song has been gently, lovingly handcrafted by Jonathan Colton himself to sound exactly like the original recording.
So, Jonathan, how much money did you raise for that? What was your goal, and how much did you raise?
My goal was $20,000. I raised $150,000 by the time I was done.
So amazing.
I know. Who knew?
Who knew? But that's not all. I have to finish my intro to you because
sure.
It's pretty great. Colton has been nominated for an Emmy, and you may have seen some of his songs set these animations on the CBS All Access hit The Good Fight. They are sort of a Schoolhouse Rock-like explanation of key concepts in the show and in today's political climate. NDAs, troll farms, even the rules of impeachment. And of course, you hear him on the Public Radio Quiz Show, Ask Me Another. Jonathan Colton, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So we'll talk about your record in a second, but I'm really interested in this idea that you caught on to very early, this idea of the creative commons and the internet and the idea of just freely giving out your music and sharing. Why did you see that ahead of other people? You saw it really early on.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it was sort of out of desperation. You know, I wanted to be a professional musician. I wanted to be a rock star and get signed to a record label, but it was pretty clear to me early on after I moved to New York that nobody was interested in doing that. And so I got a regular job, and I worked for almost a decade writing software. And then somewhere along the way, suddenly the internet came into its own, and then there were MP3s, which were these small audio files that sounded great that you could download. Podcasts had started, this whole revolution, and blogs, and it was a revolution in self-publishing, it just suddenly clicked. Wait a minute, I don't need anybody to fund me. I can just make a store online and sell the MP3s. And maybe I don't need to sell a million copies to make a living. And let's see how that goes and if that works. And to my surprise, it did.
How did you make the leap from a guy working in software to being a professional musician?
I struggled with it for a long time. And what happened was I became a parent for the first time. My daughter was born, and I suddenly realized that I was someday going to die. I think there was one thing that happened, and I also realized that this little person was going to look to me for advice and an example of how to live. And it made me sad to think about her looking at a dad who had never given it a shot. And it was really the last chance that I could do it without her thinking poorly of me if it didn't work. So I left the day job and I started writing. I did a project called Thing a Week where I set this challenge for myself to record and release a new song every week for a year, just putting them all on my website and to see if anybody took the bait.
And when did you realize, oh, they're taking the bait?
It was a series of small successes over the year. I did a folky cover of Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back, song number 4 that received a lot of attention online. There was a song called Code Monkey a bit later about being a sad software developer, perhaps slightly autobiographical. somewhere over the course of that year, I remember crossing the threshold where the amount of money I was making from selling MP3s was just enough to pay the babysitter that was taking care of my child while I pretended to work. So that felt like a good moment.
That was the day. Yeah. That was the day. Let's talk about this new album, Some Guys, which is obviously a takeoff on Some Girls, the Rolling Stone. When did you decide, what was it about this period of music that you thought, now is the time?
Well, I was born in 1970, and so my memories of being a kid, you know, in the backseat of a station wagon.
Ford Country Squire, probably.
Probably, exactly. No doubt. And, you know, this music coming in from the radio and nobody getting to choose what they listened to. It was just fed to you, and some stuff I liked and some stuff I didn't. And the stuff that I always gravitated toward were the songs that were, you know, bearded men singing in high voices about how sad they were. And I don't know, I think it was, you know, I was kind of a sad and sensitive kid in a lot of ways, and I think I just connected to these kinds of male role models more than I did, you know, say the Rolling Stones, who I always felt were too loud and braggy. I think it just really connected to the vulnerability and the sweetness of these songs, and they're great songs too. And so, you know, as I've gotten older, I've recently become... I've started circling back to these songs and listening to them again. And my favorite thing to do is at home, I put on a Pandora station based on Bread. And it's like heroin. It's fantastic. I wanted to get inside these songs and crawl around a little bit. And so that's where the idea for this album came from.
My guest is Jonathan Colton. We used to call it Breeze Rock.
Breeze rock, I
breeze
like that.
Breeze rock, because it's sort of like the breeze going through some flowing hair.
Yeah, some people think of it as yacht rock too. Although
yacht rock.
people who are yacht rock aficionados will say that there's something totally different. Yacht rock and soft rock are not the same. We shouldn't go into it now; it's too complicated.
As a musician, is there something about the chord progression? They have a lot of sort of like E13s, and you know, there's something about that makes this sound.
Yeah, I will say that musically they are, you know, for me, the center of the soft rock universe is Bread. And that is a very, it's, you know, it's a folky...
Would you hum a Bread song so people know?
Sure. So, let's see. Hey, have you ever tried really reaching out for the other side? Yeah. Very sweet, high, pure voice. On all the Bread songs, he's just singing about how he's sad and he's crying and he's vulnerable and it's okay if she breaks his heart and he understands that she has trouble showing her feelings. It's hilarious. Musically, yeah, it's kind of a folky thing, but there's some jazzy stuff going on, a lot of major seventh chords in this music, which is a sort of wistful, sad chord.
So once you figured out you were going to do this, you started your Kickstarter. Did you bring in other people to work with you? Is this just a solo project?
Well, it's there's a producer that I have worked with on a few things, my last record and then this one. His name is Christian Kassan, and he lives in Brooklyn. He's a good friend of mine. So it was mostly him and me in the studio. Mm-hmm. But when there was something that we couldn't play between the two of us, because he's a drummer and a guitarist as well, when there's something that we couldn't play between the two of us, we would have... we hired people to come in. So we hired a real string section. We hired a real horn section.
Wow.
And it was kind of, once we had started down the road of let's make these songs sound as much like the original recordings as we can, it was very hard to get almost all the way there and not do the thing that you knew would make it cross the finish line.
Would you play something for us?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Okay. This is Jonathan Coulton from his new album, Some Guys. What are you going to play, Jonathan?
Well, so the irony is all these songs are meant to be sound exactly like the originals, and now here I am doing my own interpretation of them. So this is maybe the saddest song in the world. This is Alone Again, Naturally by Gilbert O'Sullivan. I know. Get your tissues ready.
In a little while from now, if I'm not feeling any less sour, I promise myself to treat myself and visit a nearby tower. Climbing to the top, will throw myself off in an effort to make it clear to whoever what it's like when you're shattered, left standing in the lurch at a church where people say, my God, that's tough, she stirred him up. No point in us remaining, I may as well go home as I did on my own, alone. Naturally, it seems that only yesterday I was cheerful, bright, and gay, looking forward to who wouldn't do the role I was about to play. But as if to knock me down, reality came around, and without so much as a mere touch, cut me into little pieces, leaving me to die. Talk about God and His mercy, if He really does exist. Why did He desert me in my hour of need? I truly am indeed alone again, naturally. Seems to me that there are more hearts broken in the world that can't be mended, left unattended. What do we do? What do we do?
Jonathan Coulton from his new album, Some Guys. Hey, internet fact or fiction, you were in the Whippin' Poofs at Yale?
I was in the Whippin' Poofs at Yale, that's right. It's an acapella singing group.
So you're an acapella guy.
I'm an acapella guy, yeah.
It's all coming clear
it's
now.
It's all right now. Now you get the whole picture. That's right.
I want to talk about The Good Fight. This is incredible. So on CBS All Access, it's a sequel to The Good Wife. And it's a show about lawyers doing good, and we'll just sort of leave it at that sentence. But as part of the show, there are these interstitials that you write the music for, which are a lot like Schoolhouse Rock. explain to people what these are, and then we'll show one.
Right. So I will say that the creators of this show, Robert and Michelle King, are hilarious and have a really bananas approach to making television. They like to make weird choices, and this is one of them, and I love it. So in the middle of every episode, we pause for a little 90-second animated video that goes over some concept relating to what's happening in the show. So there was one on non-disclosure agreements. There was one about Roy Cohn. There was one about Russian troll farms. There's, you know, it's a bunch of different subjects. And it is kind of Schoolhouse Rocky. Yeah.
Well, let's take a listen to this one. I believe it's about impeachment.
People made you the president. You get your power from our consent. It's not just a figure of speech. If you do something you shouldn't do, the Constitution will deal with you. Congress has power to impeach. Republicans, Democrats, in-betweeners. No one likes high crimes and misdemeanors. Your tiny hands will scratch and claw. But nobody's above the law. Andrew Johnson and Clinton, too. Congress did what they had to do. Nixon resigned just in time. Obstructing justice and perjury. Emoluments, Russian puppetry. Treason is also a crime. Republicans, Democrats, in-betweeners. Looking for high crimes and misdemeanors. Maybe this was taking your crawl. But nobody's above the law. They wrote in the articles in the House of Representatives. Simple majority says if you're impeached, then there's a trial in the Senate in which they consider the charges to remove you from.
So those are really hilarious. How long does it take you to write one of those? I know, those are good, right?
Thank you. That's always such a hard question. Writing a song usually involves a lot of sitting around and waiting for something to happen. So if I count all that, you know, a few days.
Yeah.
but once I really dig in, you know, it's usually a day from idea to a mostly finished concept. They're pretty short.
Has one been particularly challenging?
I will say the Roy Cohn one was particularly hard. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you're writing about a historical figure, it's easy to fall into this trap of just listing all the things that they did, because you kind of feel like you have to explain who this person is and what the context is. And Roy Cohn in particular, it's complicated to try to connect who he is, because he's sort of connected to Trump and maybe to the current political climate in ways that are subtle and related to his involvements in McCarthyism. And it's a complicated, difficult thing. And so that was tricky, because of course I only have 90 seconds to get to it, and it has to be funny also.
And catchy.
Yeah. So that was a tricky one, but once I came up with the line, Roy Cohn came to party, that's when I knew I'd solved the puzzle.
Clearly, that's a big piece of inspiration.
Yeah.
So for folks who are listening right now and thinking like, hey, I want to see this guy perform, you are going to be at the Crossing Bridges Music Festival on May 10th.
Center in New York City. Yeah, it's a two-day festival. They have a bunch of artists lined up to play, and I'm one of them. Should be great.
Now you're an actual artist. We've been talking about a lot of the fun things you've been doing, this covers and the Good Fight. But you really write your own music. And
I do. It's true. Yes.
Yeah. That's something that we want people to know. We want people to hear. Would you play one more song for us?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to.
Your Tattoo.
Yeah, so this is a song I think that shows some of the influence that this 70s soft rock has had on my own writing. And just a brief setup, my wife has a tattoo that she got when she was a young person that she has always hated, because it's a very generic tattoo. It's just sort of the idea of a tattoo. And when she was 40, she decided to go out and get that tattoo improved. And what she did was she had them tattoo quotes around the original tattoo. So now it really is the idea of a tattoo, which is exactly what she wanted. So this is sort of about that tattoo and some other things as well. This is called Your Tattoo.
Black and blue, every time I lean into you, you think the words don't mean what they do. killing me so slow. So it's home instead. Memorize your scars in the bed, making me see stars in my head. Baby, you don't know. One rough summer and too much sun, the lines get blurry and the colors run, and the red bleeds out with the blue. Picture in the shape of the way it hurt, planning an escape from beneath your shirt. Do you know I love your tattoo? Your tattoo. Your tattoo. You were there, little sparks and wire in the air, everything on fire everywhere, punishment and crime. It's black and white, it's keeping me ablaze every night, thinking I can't wait, but am I everything in time? Gray gives way to the deepest black, promises you made and can't take back. When you look too long, you see through. Over on the edge where the ink is thin, coming in close against your skin. Do you know how? Your tattoo, your tattoo, your tattoo. Jonathan
Colton's new album is called Some Guys, and it is available now. How, Jonathan?
Everywhere you can find albums.
All right. Jonathan, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Randy.
Coming up, Idelli Casell and Arturo O'Farrell will join on stage. Don't go away. This is all of it on WNYC.